But I am working on your theme song, just so you know.
My personal theme song
Not
or
on the Rise theme
on
song.
the
I really am working on
Dawn
it.
the What would the theme song be? Like, do you have a direct
I
cut?
started singing it in the shower not too long ago, after a really hard night, and I was able to warm up and clean up when I got here. And it starts out on the rise, on the rise. And then I started singing in my language because it first of all it rhymed and it was what was coming to mind. So it's you want to see some time on the
This
rise,
is JS, a participant at On the Rise, a day program in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that provides safety, community, and advocacy for homeless and formerly homeless women and trans non-binary individuals. He's being interviewed by Abigail, the stewardship and event officer at On the Rise.
on the rise. So,
I love that.
nice.
Wait, so what is, you said your language, like what is your language?
But the first language I spoke was Iroquois or Iroquois. It's a native language, from one of the early Indian tribes.
JS has been experiencing homelessness for 4 years. He's been visiting On the Rise for the last 6 months.
And then I spoke Tagalog for a little bit, and English is actually kind of a later language for me. And sometimes, and I also speak a few others. But sometimes English can be hard because it's a conformity type of language. Like one set of words is okay in one setting, but the same set of words is not okay in a different setting. Like we don't speak the same in a courtroom as we do in the club. You know what I mean? So
Right.
love, for example, in English it's one word for us. There's a different word for each type of love. Like a paternal love, friendly love, you know, things like that. And that's one thing On the Rise has really helped me out a lot with, was providing that this type of caring love that I so desperately needed at a point when it's been crucial for me to feel that.
We're bringing you a special bonus episode today because we're running our annual fundraiser at Not Sorry for On the Rise. They're an organization whose work begins with individuals experiencing homelessness and continues if and when they secure housing. They have private showers, laundry, food, clothes, toiletries, and advocates who work with people to represent their needs in hospitals, courtrooms, government offices, and housing agencies. Today, I'm interviewing Charity Ryder, the Director of Clinical Services at On the Rise. But before we get to her, I want you to hear a little bit more from JS about what the program means to him.
This is actually the first kind of family type of setting that I've had in years. So for me, and at this point in my life, that's really important, especially with my background and some of the things that I've had to suffer in the past, especially as a child. Finding that type of caring, supportive love just for whom I be is a very rare feeling for someone like me in this society. And that's, you know, with me being to cut the long story short, transgender male, for some reason, when people first see me, they expect me to act as feminine, effeminate, but I don't. So it becomes like a jack in the box. So for me, trying to ask for things out there can be as a safety concern, like the beggars and things like that. You know, I would do that if I could, but for me to ask somebody, like it's I'm already a jack in the box type of scenario. They're already afraid for whatever reason. I'm one of the most peaceful people you'll ever meet. And so in order to deter or to kind of stem away from any of that, I end up going through trash and picking up things from off the ground and things like that. And it's not a great thing among the comrades. So for me, having this safe haven, this place where I can just be me and be supported if people get my pronouns wrong, you know, there are certain staff members here who are quick to correct them and things like that. It's actually made me more confident here anyway to correct people. Here, I can just be me, and that's life-saving in and of itself, not to mention the food, which, by the way, is amazing. I hear some of the others complain about the food, and I'm like, I'm not having to dig this out of a trash can, and that's hot, okay? And if it's not, I can go nuke it. I don't know. So, and cereal, all I can eat. Cereal is like one of those foods I can eat all day, every day. All I can eat cereal. I am one happy camper. I know I tend to eat a lot because I kind of call myself the house guy. I feel like the only guy here, but that's okay. That's okay. But I eat a lot because this is the only place where I really get to eat, especially as much as I need. And I actually warned them at first. I was like, I can eat a lot. They were like, go ahead as long as you eat. And that's another little strong thing for me, because having that support just to get as much as I need, not just, what is given, was a big difference between here and just about everywhere else. I mean, when I read the website trying to find a safe place to go, which is difficult for someone like me, the first words I read were private showers, and oh, I'm there. Yes, because most of the other shelters have locker style, locker room style, and guys usually don't give a crap unless a guy is different. If a guy is different, then bad things can ensue. It's happened to me all my life whenever I had to go to the guy's locker room. So private showers, just being able to bathe safely, is a great thing that this place provides. The community feel here, where if you need something, you have the assurance that they are behind you, and that the staff here, the advocates, are behind you and supporting you 100%. Not only do they genuinely care, but they genuinely care enough here to actually listen intently to what seemed to many others. Like if some of my fellow guests here went out in the street and were talking like that, they would just think of it ramblings. But here you can tell that the important things are actually gleaned out, and the need is met and assessed and met. So it's been an esteem saver, almost a hope saver, and just this place is what helps me get out of my setup every morning, because I have a place to go.
This is our second year partnering with On the Rise, and we hope to continue our partnership. We appreciate that many of you do not live local to the Boston area, but it's so meaningful to have us all come together and support something that I get to see the impacts of in my daily life. This year, we are trying to raise another $10,000 for On the Rise, and that money goes directly to people like JS, and we hope that you join us in fundraising for On the Rise and get involved in your local community as well. Now we're going to hear my conversation with Charity Ryder, who's going to tell us a little bit more about homelessness in general, the misconceptions around it, and the things that we can do to help. Hi, Charity.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Charity, I know that you have been with On the Rise for almost 20 years, and I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about sort of what it's been like for you to work with this organization over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I started back in 2004, and the thing that's really amazing about On the Rise, it really is a community. And so people, once they're a part of this community, they can always be a part of this community, no matter what is going on for them. So even if they're housed, we still work with people when they have housing. And people really do feel connected to this place in a way that is very different than any place I've ever worked. And so I have these relationships with people who I've known for almost 20 years. And so it's just incredible to be able to see them. We have community events that happen throughout the year. We have a holiday party. We get together for Thanksgiving. We have a summer cookout outside in our parking lot. And people come back, and it kind of feels like it's a reunion, really. If you've, been to reunions in your own life of places that have mattered to you, I feel like On the Rise really is that for a lot of people, including former staff. So a lot of former staff come back to those events to just connect and see people that they haven't seen in a long time. And so sort of the sense of community has really been the thing, I think, that has kept me here all these years, because it's really a special place.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I feel like for a lot of our listeners, it is possible that most of their understanding of what it means to be homeless in the United States comes from pop culture. And I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit, how do you think that pop culture represents homelessness? What do you think is it like gets right? What do you feel like are the misconceptions that people might have?
Well, first of all, I think there's sort of a stereotypical person that you think of when you think about homeless people. maybe they haven't bathed or their hair is messy. I mean, I think there are sort of these very stereotypical ideas of who these people are. And certainly you see people like that on the street. But I think a lot of folks, particularly in Boston, I'm quite certain that people are interacting with people who are very marginally housed or unhoused, and they don't even know it because the housing crisis is so intense here. There's not a lot of affordable housing. And so people are sleeping on other people's couches. They don't have a place of their own. And so I do think there is this sort of invisible group of people who are unhoused that aren't necessarily who people normally think or who are normally represented in pop culture. I also think there's sometimes this idea of there's help out there if you want it. There's all these resources. If you just reach out, it's going to be there and you're going to be on your path to wellness and housed and all of those things. And I think that certainly there are services out there, and we are working closely with lots of other partner agencies to help people along that path if that's what they're hoping for. But it's not that easy. In, you know, Boston, Cambridge, there actually aren't really enough beds for unhoused people in emergency shelters. Cambridge right now has a warming center, which is kind of an overflow space for people who, it's not really a shelter, but it's a place you can go in the evening during the winter so that you're not outside in the elements, but it's not actually a real, you know, it's not a place where people can sleep on a bed. So I think there's a little bit of misconceptions about, you know, there's all this help out there and people just need to want it. There's also sort of the rags to riches stereotype that I think mm-hmm. gets played out in pop culture of, you know, this person who just needed that one person to like see what they could be. And I think, sure, that also does happen, but I don't think that is the norm. And so I think a lot of the folks who we work with talk about how invisible they actually feel.
Yeah.
People don't make eye contact with them. They don't say hello. They sort of act like they don't exist. And so I don't think they feel represented in really our culture at all in some ways, except in a negative way. And I Right. think that that's what's really great about On the Rise is that we're really trying to work with people as whole people. And so the things that I know about people who come to On the Rise, sure, I know some of the struggles they've had in their lives and the ways that those things have led to their homelessness. But I also know so many other things about them, you know, just right. the things that they're good at, the things that they love, the kind of food they want to eat, you know, what their kids are like, what where they lived when they were growing up. And I think that that it's such a gift to be able to know people in that way. And I think that On the Rise is really trying to just see people for their full humanity and the good and the bad. And, you know, just trying to figure out how we can be supportive of people in their journey, you know, to well-being.
I also feel like one of the things that I see in pop culture is like sort of that there are good homeless people and bad homeless people, right? There are homeless people that it's like came by their homelessness because of some sort of like deep victimhood, or it's their fault because of drugs, right? And
yeah.
they are criminals. And I love what you're talking about, like just seeing people for the whole of who they are.
Yeah. I think absolutely. It's a really good point. I do think there is that sort of dichotomy of like the good, you know, people who are worthy of help and the bad people who are not worthy of our help and our attention,
right.
particularly around drug use. I think there's a lot of shaming of people who use drugs, and I think there's just not a lot of acknowledgement in terms of how people got where they are of the impact of trauma. I think most of the folks that we work with have experienced a lot of trauma in their lives, and a lot of it started very early in their lives. And certainly in the time that I've worked at On the Rise, we've learned a lot more about the impact of trauma on brain development. And it actually does alter the chemistry of your brain and the way that your brain works, essentially. And so I think that has a real impact on people's coping mechanisms and how they're trying to get through their day. And so I think that we really do try to be a very trauma-informed space where we're mm-hmm. just sort of assuming, again, we are very curious about people, so we don't assume in a absolute way, but I think we're always assuming that people who are walking through the doors at On the Rise have really probably experienced a lot of trauma, potentially from a, you know, early in their lives, but also the experience of being unhoused is very traumatic as well. So yeah. people are experiencing trauma daily. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes, but a lot of it's emotional. This whole idea, like I was talking about, of just feeling invisible and unseen yeah. and like you don't matter. It has a profound effect on your mental health and wellness, you know, to feel like you don't matter to people. It's really not great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if our work on a like spiritual level accomplishes anything, the thing that I hope that it accomplishes is right by like treating texts as sacred, we learn to treat one another as sacred, regardless of any social capital, right? Just like a belief that each of us is worthy of the same thing and that
yes,
we don't need the eyes of God to say that, right? But like we need each other to acknowledge the humanity in one another.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I love thinking about On the Rise as an organization that is committed to that, right? Like it is an organization about seeing people. That's really beautiful.
It comes up over and over again of just how people feel very safe here. They feel very seen here and they feel like they matter. And it's true. They really do matter. And there are people who, you know, it's kind of like Cheers when you walk through the, you know, when Norm would walk through the door, it's sort of like, and people are sometimes taken aback by that in the beginning because yeah. it's very unusual to feel welcomed in that way. And I think that we're really just trying to create a space where people feel like they belong, where people feel like they matter and where like what happens to them matters too. And that what happened to them matters and that we are here to, again, we're not trying to sugarcoat things. We're not trying to say that things didn't happen or things aren't continuing to happen that are really hard for people, but we're also trying to help people see the strengths that they do have and to reflect those back to people. Because I think I've heard from so many people, like, I don't have any strengths. Like nothing's going well. I don't, you know, they've been sort of dimmed, you know, by their experiences, yeah. But we're trying to sort of shed some light on those things that I think people lose sight of when they're struggling so much.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about the systems that are failing people. Mm-hmm. If we were to imagine a world in which people didn't need On the Rise, what systems would be different?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the one that stands out to me the most right now is the housing system. I think that, and I spoke to it a little earlier about the affordable housing crisis in Boston, and not just, it's all over the country, but certainly in Boston, we feel it deeply. I think that there isn't enough affordable housing for people. And I think the systems that have been built to help people access affordable housing are also kind of broken. It used to be when I started here 20 years ago, when someone got a Section 8 voucher, that was kind of the golden ticket. It was great. I mean, people had to wait a long time for them, but once they got it, they were set. We could find them a place in Cambridge, actually, 20 years ago, we were able to find people apartments with Section 8 vouchers. And as the years have gone on, people have had to move farther and farther and farther outside of Boston to be able to even use a voucher. And that is if they're not being discriminated against by a landlord who doesn't want to accept a Section 8 voucher, despite it being illegal to do so. It happens all the time. It's also very competitive, the housing market right now. And so people, vouchers do have a time frame on them. And so people have 120 days to find a place, which if you don't have a car, if you don't have a reliable phone, if you don't have, maybe you've never had to negotiate that kind of a conversation with someone, like all of those barriers exist. And so it makes it really challenging for people to find housing, even if they have this great resource that is supposed to enable them to do so. I also just read something in the news recently that I think 30% of the vouchers that are issued are never used because people can't find housing. And that's a nationwide, that was a national statistic. And so to me, that speaks to a broken system. Like if you're right. issuing vouchers for people who need them to find housing and 30% of those people are unable to do so, there's something wrong. And so I think that's something that we're really always struggling with. And it's hard because I think that becomes the bottleneck. And so people aren't moving out of homelessness. And so more and more people are experiencing homelessness because there's really nowhere for them to go. And I think, you know, Massachusetts currently is experiencing even a more intense thing right now too, because there are a lot of migrants who are here and they also need our help and our services. And, you know, it's created a real crisis actually of housing. And so I think that's the biggest one. I think there's lots of others too. I think most of our folks who come to On the Rise are receiving disability benefits. A large majority of the folks that we work with have some form of disability. And so the system is set up so that if you're going to access those benefits through Social Security, you can't have any assets. So mm-hmm. it really creates this conundrum of like, you can't actually get out of poverty because right. you're not allowed to have any money, you know? And so it's so incredibly frustrating to try to help people build wealth. It's actually impossible almost for folks who are receiving public benefits. And I think that's a myth too. Like, I think people don't know that.
Yeah.
And of course people can get off of Social Security income if they find a path to wellness that supports them. But, you know, for a lot of our folks, they have some pretty significant disabilities that are long-term. And so it's hard for them necessarily to completely get off. So they can only work a certain number of hours. And if you work more than those hours, then you're, you know, you have to repay Social Security. It's like a whole, it's a lot to, I don't even understand it, honestly. And like try to explain it to people. It's very hard. And so people get into, you know, financial trouble. And so I think, again, that's just another myth that's out there that's connected to a broken system, is that people, if they wanted to, they could, you know, just pull up their boots and accumulate a lot of wealth and move out of poverty. And it's just untrue, actually.
Right. I always just think about, I work from home for myself. There's no boss like watching me, you know, calling health insurance in the middle of the workday. And I'm like, this is hard for me. I have privacy and Wi-Fi and cell service and a good phone, right? And I'm just like, if this is hard for me, this is impossible for people with less privilege than me. It just boggles my mind because I don't know anyone for whom this is easy. And I know a lot of very privileged people. And so when you just think about the added barriers, it's just impossible to work these systems that are, in theory, there to help.
Yes, it's true. And I think since the pandemic, a lot of services have shifted to be virtual. So, you know, a lot of providers, health providers particularly, are doing telehealth appointments.
Yeah.
A lot of court, actually, most court has sort of shifted back to being in person, but some sessions of courts are still virtual. And so for our folks, they may have the technology, they may have a smartphone, or they may have a phone that has the capacity to have Zoom or whatever platform they're using to do these virtual visits, but they don't have privacy.
Right.
They literally don't have anywhere to do it. It's like, you don't want to go to a coffee shop and talk to your mental health provider,
right,
or have your court session in the coffee shop.
Right.
So one of the things that On the Rise has really tried to do in the last few years is to offer space for people to have those appointments. So we have a couple of spaces in the house where we can definitely reserve those spaces for people to be able to have the privacy that they need and maybe the support that they need, because often they have the technology, but they don't necessarily know how to use it, or they feel very intimidated by the concept of having this meeting, you know, on their phone. And so oftentimes there will be an advocate who will sit with them, at least in the beginning, to get them set up so they feel comfortable. And that is something that we do anyway. We provide accompaniment and support in the community with participants who go to different appointments. We're trying to sort of be the mortar between the bricks of the system. Mm. So trying to fill those spaces for people, because it can be really intimidating to go to court by yourself or to go to a doctor's appointment where you're potentially going to get some bad news and you want to have a supportive person with you. So the advocates are doing a lot of accompaniment with people into the community to do those kinds of appointments to make them more accessible and more comfortable and increase the likelihood that someone will actually do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my God, I need, again.
Like, we all need somebody with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the three tenets of the work that we do, right, is community. Like, you're just more likely to do something if someone comes with you.
Totally.
So my last question for you before I let you go is, what are the things that people can do that actually make a difference, given that we can't necessarily fix a whole system?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing you can do, sort of like we touched on earlier, is just smile at someone, make eye contact, say hello, just recognize someone's humanity on the street. I have also just offered to buy someone lunch or buy them a cup of coffee. Come in, if I'm passing a store, like, come in with me. I would love to buy you some lunch. We have a meals program here at On the Rise, and so people can cook for us. We have a home-cooked meal every day at On the Rise at lunch. And so there's an opportunity if cooking is your thing, I think that is always welcomed. And we do clothing drives. We do toiletry drives. I mean, there's always needs specific to On the Rise. But I think just in general, too, there are lots of organizations who are working with unhoused people who have very similar asks of the community. And so, you know, if you want to do something in your local community. I think you could look up organizations that are working with unhoused people and see what kinds of things they need. Some organizations have volunteer opportunities where you can come and, like, we don't have direct service opportunities here at On the Rise, like where people are working directly with our participants, but we do have volunteers who come and sort clothing for our clothing room and help us do administrative tasks that we need extra help with. So I think there are just lots of ways that people can engage in their communities to support organizations like On the Rise.
Yeah. I actually exploit On the Rise to make my kids cook with me all day.
Nice.
They won't do it, but I'm like, hey, we're cooking for the shelter. And they're like, fine. And I can get them in the kitchen with me.
I mean, I think the other thing I didn't say is you can give money to places like On the Rise.
Right.
That's another thing you could do.
And please do. That's a perfect way to end the interview. We have this fundraiser going this week where we are encouraging all of our listeners to please help us in our continued effort to support On the Rise and the amazing work that you do, Charity. So the link is in the show notes, everybody, but you can also go to notsorryworks.com. There are all sorts of perks and thank yous that we're doing in order to incentivize our community to be part of it. And Charity, just thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure. And thank you so much for your partnership. We appreciate it so much.
Donating is so easy. You can click on the link in our show notes, but you can also text to the number 44321 and just text "not sorry," all one word, and you can just donate like that to On the Rise. This community over the last 8 years has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for various organizations, in addition to everybody taking care of each other in countless ways. And so I just want to take this moment to thank you for being a part of this incredible community. It's really humbling and means a lot.